What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Starlight Digest, a podcast bringing you line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over 1,000 years. This is episode 255, being recorded on April 17th, 2024. I am your host, Darth Moocher. I've got Scott Solo here.
What's up, nerds?
I got Bootleg Joe.
Hey.
Maybe.
Hi.
I'm like, there's an audio show, too.
Let him know you're there, brother. I
warned you. Yeah. And Grand Admiral Franz.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? Hey, guys, do you know what today is besides being April 17th? It's 7 years almost to the day that we started this podcast. Seven years. So that we celebrate another milestone anniversary. Not only dropping 255 episodes after today, but yeah, 7 years we've been doing this. And again, we are still friends, kind of, I think, right?
We still know each other.
We went from a friends to acquaintances since we don't stand in line anymore. We don't,
I don't do any of that.
Hey, boring. We go to conventions. We go to conventions.
We do.
So there we go.
We do. Yeah. But we are in a fictitious line, right? I mean, we're in the Acolyte line, which is 48 days away. So we are in line for 48 more days until the Acolyte drops and we get
it's so
to,
sad that we're in the middle of a show and you're worried about the next line. We're in Bad Batch.
Well, we're nearing the end of that one. The exit's there. It's like really bright and exit here, which we will get into, of course, you know, but before we get into all the Star Wars talk, because we do have some and, you know, it's going to be exciting, I think, just a little bit. But before we get into all that, we want to shout out our Shadow Council and everybody who's being digested in the pit. So Scott Solo, it's on you.
You got it. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Sarlacc Digest. All that stuff he just said. Welcome back to it. So, special shout out to our pals, AJ from the Forbidden Panel, Brandon and Anya Epler, Brian C., Cliff, Commander Cook, Crystal E., Dennis McGrath, Don the Dad Dorn, Eric Grubb, Flavy Davey, formerly of the Nerds with Attitude podcast, Gavin Connor from the Holy Hour All Cure podcast, Ryan and the Star Joes podcast, Justin the Vanilla Thunder. Okay, now here we go. Luke decided to take pity on me because I couldn't say junk droid. It kept coming out drunk droid. Uh-huh. So now he is either, but now I don't know. Is it?
Oh, L-O-B? No.
Is it LOB collects or is it Lob collects?
Oh, man.
AKA Lob collects.
Since it's all capital, I'm going to say LOB.
LOB. Maybe, yeah, but is it AT-AT or AT-AT? You know,
it's browbeat the dude into changing his name. That is,
Mervine Bolanos.
It's AT-AT.
It is AT-AT. Mervine Bolanos, Matt Logic, Nicholas Schaefer, and Papa Schmitty. If you guys want to join or gals want to join the Shadow Council, just scan that QR code right there or go to patreon.com/SarlaccDigestPodcast. And donate a couple of bucks a month. We really appreciate it. Or if you want to drop us a super chat, you know, I'm not opposed to that. That's kind of cool too. You get Joey a special shout out whenever you do Joey that. Joey should drop a super chat in there, right, Joe? Right?
Anyway. He said he might be opposed to it.
Yeah, he's opposed he might to it. Be opposed. Yeah.
No. Also, digesting
it's
right
go
now.
Right in back the to me. Pit.
Is it though? Is it? We've got Rhino Hobbies. What's up, Rhino Hobbies? We've got This Is the Way. We've got Don the Dad Dorn. We've got Gavin Connor, the Science Fictionary, and Mando Mike.
All right. So I know there's more of you in there in the pit there. So of course, you know, say hi when you can. And I am going to ask a few questions in there, and started with this one right here. Who listens or play or on here or listens in the pit and everything, plays any kind of video games or Star Wars video games mainly? Like, is there any gamers that we have in our little community?
Just
besides the card game, besides Star Wars Unlimited. This is not this is an empty box. So
it's like you're sponsoring now.
I know. at this point, I'm going to.
You can't go out and buy a box. They're out.
Exactly. But, you know, last week, Tales from the Empire trailer dropped, right? But alongside, like almost a minute after the Star Wars Outlaws trailer dropped, also. And that comes out August 30th of this year. And this is the open world RPG game that's been in development since we went to Celebration. No, might even be before that. I'm not sure where.
Yeah, I think before.
3-4 years in development, you know. So the trailer dropped and everything, and we didn't really get a chance to kind of, we're not going to break it down, but I just kind of want to put it out there and get a little talk going on the state of Star Wars gaming. Cause you guys know me, where there was the heyday of Star Wars gaming. Now, I used to buy consoles just for the exclusive Star Wars content, the Xbox.
Everyone I ever bought on my own was because of Star Wars game.
It was, I would go, okay, what Star Wars exclusive titles are going to be on this system, and I would go to that, right? And that was the heyday before
EA got it. Time when you needed to upgrade, and I wouldn't upgrade until a new system came out and they had a Star Wars game. Inevitably, it was one of the first five or six that would come out would be a Star Wars game, right?
Yeah,
and grab that system.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, man.
Right. Yeah.
Still, you know, and I became a PC gamer a long time ago, so it doesn't affect me as much today, but. The last 10 years or 20 years of Star Wars gaming has been really just, it's hit and miss. It's like a miss and a miss. I don't know of a lot besides Jedi Fallen Order. Fallen Order was actually pretty cool. It had a great story. It's a continuation, whatever. I had high hopes, and I still have high hopes for the Star Wars Outlaws, because it's the same kind of concept, meaning an open world, side quest, main quest, a new character that can intertwine in our books and comics and series, whatever. It takes place in between Empire and Return, right? So there's a lot of already controversy around the game itself, because not only do we just get a title and a here's a new Star Wars game, it's always behind some sort of paywall or some sort of developer, like, here's all the stuff we're going to have, but at launch, you're only going to get like 30% of it. You know, that's what's killing the gaming industry these days. You know, I understand this is like my little rant, right? So I understand the development as far as how long it takes. Yeah, go for it.
Wait. Okay.
Chicken off.
I feel better.
So 255 with a rant, man. So, you know, I just, it's getting a little old. I'm old. I understand, but it's getting old to be like, get so excited for a game, and then when the details come out, you're like, well, I have to spend $130 if I wanted to experience the game as is, not including the future DLC that's coming out, but as is, that's $130. Okay.
Ooh.
I'm like, okay, man, like, now you're getting it. Where now I'm
that's like turning a small book into a trilogy of movies. Is what that is, right? Like the same kind of thing.
It's not the same, but well,
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see what he did there too, but no, I understand it. I don't agree with it. So, but okay. So if you wanted to play the game, the base game, it's cost you $70, which is still no chunk of, you know, like little easy thing, but it's the base game. So you're not getting all the stuff that you could possibly do in the game. You could go through the you know what I mean? So like they have four versions of this. So they have the $70 version, $110 version, $130, and then a monthly subscription if you want, which is $18, you know.
wait. So in order to get everything, you've got to pay $100 and some odd and $18 a month,
or no, is it an option? Or.
So, okay.
But of course, how developers do this, it's $18 a month, but you know, the content that you're going to get is gated maybe 6 months down the line. So you're going to be paying a hell of a lot more than that $130 up front, because that $130 up front will guarantee you the season pass, which gives you the future DLC. Well, so does the monthly subscription, but you have to be subscribed to access the game when you do it that way. So I'm in this pickle, man. I'm like, I want to play it. I want to experience it all, because there's the side quest in there that Jabba the Hutt's going to give you. Now, he is in the base game, but this extra stuff that you can go and see Han Solo and Carbonite, all that stuff, man. It's really
is DLC.
Yeah. Basically, it's going to be it's pay gated. You know what I mean? It's gated into our pay to play.
I get the fact that it sucks. I'm just thinking about how much enjoyment you get out of it for $140 bucks. It's a difference in what we're doing now. It's a difference in, do I think it sucks? Yeah. Right. But we've been paying $50 for Nintendo games since the 80s.
Absolutely.
Right? Isn't that what we were paying back then?
I mean, yeah, so the 70 doesn't bother
60, 70. The price hike hasn't been crazy on
$20,
games, right?
$20.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like I know how much we just spent on cards.
Yeah. And that's true.
And you're getting a lot of duplicates and stuff too.
Right. It's not and like you're going to get, and you're going to play that probably a little bit more than we get to play together on these. I mean, there's I don't know, man.
No,
it sucks. It sucks. I just think it's a different way of looking at it.
It is a different way.
It's really stupid to break it up. Like, could you imagine Call of Duty if they sold the story and then the multiplayer and then the zombies? Right? You had to buy all three different to get all
the experience. That's the future of gaming nowadays. Yeah. And like, you're 100% right. It's like, let's just say, for argument's sake, the base game is 100 hours. So you're paying $70 for 100 hours of play. You go, okay. So for 130 hours, you get 20 more hours. You get 120 hours a game. So that's how they probably market it that way, right? So.
Yeah.
But 130 gets you everything, or is it $70 plus $130?
No, it's
break
it's,
it down for me like I'm an idiot because I
So $70 will get you the story base from game. A to Z, okay? Plus a couple weapon packs, whatever. $110 gets you the base game plus a couple weapon packs, and you get to experience the extra content. $130 will give you all that plus. It's almost like Patreon. Now it's all this plus. It's like a tiered, you know. Right. So
a lot of times, will they add in like gaming art and soundtrack?
There's a
and
digital booklet. There's weapon packs. Again, different.
Well, those skins are just ultimate games. Like when they do like GameStop, I'm fine with not ever getting those. They do that for all the games that all these big games. But the content is the problem.
The content's the problem.
I don't care about the weapon packs. I don't care about the other stuff. I can play the game without all that. I don't have to have that. Right.
That's it, man.
But being able to play different levels or different ways to play and having to pay, that's the bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I'm upset for.
Question. Okay, so you said $18 a month gets you access to this stuff also, right?
Plus the catalog of Ubisoft. Sorry, I didn't. So it's like their version of all their games and lumped into one.
Like their Netflix
Okay, I thought you were just
talking not all about are good by the
because I mean that's $216 a year, or you just buy $130, but the $130 only accesses you this game in its entirety.
Yes.
Not accessed. Okay. Okay.
And we don't know how long you have to pay monthly to get all of that. So, cause it says on that 130, there's two DLCs, downloadable contents later on this year that will be that 130 guarantees you to have it. If you're just paying the 18, maybe you could do like 1 month resub when those come up. So you're only, you can work the system, but then it's like, you know, it's like gamers want to play too. So
I wonder, you pay that $18, you play it for a month though, and then you let that lapse. You can't go back into that and play that again if you want to, unless you re-up.
It's it's all cloud-based these days, you know, nothing's like cartridge, but anyway, it's just the way the gaming industry is going, and it sucks that we have to do that, and everything's so it does become out of reach for a lot of people, you know. It really does. And because here's this great, it's like you work so hard, you do all these things. So here's a game that you're only going to experience 70% of it. You know what I mean? And that sucks, but where it's like, I can't be with everybody else, you know, that's experiencing the same thing. Now, because it's a live service and it's a thing that they're going to have developers actively doing things to the game and adding to it. It's not like Squadrons where it was a one and done $70 or $50, $60. And then nobody touches it ever again, but there's the game you could play forever. You know, like back in the day, like when we were kids, and you buy a cartridge.
Or for 2 weeks.
Or for 2 weeks, if that, I understand.
One day. I played it for like one day.
Like KDB show is horrible. Yeah. I hate that game.
Yeah.
So bad, that game.
But anyway, that was my little rant. So we'll see. I definitely want to play because it looks so interesting. And it is canon. I mean, it's a canon game. You are playing a separate character in a timeline where you are going to interact with legacy characters. You're going to interact with these, but I don't think as much of an impact other than your own personal story, or this I forgot her name already, Nyx or something like that, her personal story. Now that character, just like Cal Kestis, will be could be in comics and movies and series or whatever books moving on. So it is not a character.
It connects Kira right there, who's been live action, who should probably
Kira is in it. Yeah 100%. So that's what I want to see, right? So it's not something I could just, me personally, I want to sleep on.
What's the date that it's releasing?
August 30th. And you can, if you buy, if you purchase any of those combos now, you can pre-order and get 3 days earlier.
Because Madden, the new Madden releases, I think a week before or a week after.
Do they make it to where you can buy the first half for $70 and then you can get the third quarter for $90?
Probably.
And then you can get for $110, you can get the entire game. And if you go overtime, you can get that for $5.
No, I think
that's how the games are going.
I think that's why they have that subscription, because you could buy the base game and 6 months down the line, you pay $18 and you can, it get updates it to that level, you know, and you could play it for a month until you cancel.
Well, I mean, we've got to play this game because it already looks like she goes up against the Sarlacc. You see her kind of sliding towards the Sarlacc pit.
So, yeah.
I mean,
dude, I'm in, like, just the concept of an open world Star Wars RPG game, for the gamers out there, like Skyrim or Arkham Asylum. Like, remember those, like, you just, it's a world and you just go out and explore. And that's how this game is. And the gameplay looks amazing. So I am excited for it. I just don't know if I want to just go, here's $130 for that. And
yeah,
I do plan on streaming it too. I do want to stream it here too and play and see it. So
if she gets into the Sarlacc and gets out, I'm going to riot.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Best I'll barely get over a tentacle. Right. For Lando. But if she goes in and Boba is not the only character to escape a Sarlacc and they pussify him even more.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's everybody can do it. Like,
oh, Sarlacc. No shit.
All the weak ways are out there just dusting themselves off. They're like, that was nothing.
All of a sudden.
I could do this all day.
Yeah. 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 I'm filling the Sarlacc today. Like in Dumb and Dumber. Fell off the tarmac again. Sorry.
I fell to the Sarlacc again.
Man, you are one pathetic loser. But anyway, let's make Star Wars gaming great again. Okay, back in the day, even if it's 2D side scrollers, man, I'm let's just go. I see Gavin Connor said he plays Battlefront 2. Mando Mike, Battlefront 2, Atari, ever since Atari Empire Strikes Back, I've been game. Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. Like Jedi Survivor, Rhino Hobby saying he bought the PlayStation specifically for like Jedi Survivor. Absolutely. I did that. Of course, Knights of the Old Republic. That's where it was an exclusive for Xbox and I had to have it.
And if this Eclipse ever comes out, I mean, I'm sure that's going to be on the next gen platform as well. So
yeah. There it is again, and we don't know. I mean, because EA doesn't have the stranglehold anymore, that this is Ubisoft, right? So like what Joey was saying, EA could probably putting out Madden at the same time or around that to compete directly with a Star Wars title like that, because EA doesn't have the sole ownership of Star Wars IP anymore. So that's why Madden's like
the biggest damn game that everybody gets every year. That puts a hurting on somebody for trying to put a game out. Yeah, that is kind of messed up.
Yeah, or Star Wars.
There are choices. There are choices. No, it's I'm choices have to a choice. Made.
Yeah, I'm going to have a choice to make.
Gaming-wise, they'll hit Madden. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like how movies.
I mean, I won't, but the gaming, that's a, everybody gets
Star Wars. Version. Star Wars football. Star Wars wins every time, so.
Oh, yeah. Foosball.
But I still won't buy it because it's a game and I don't have a PS5. And well, my PS4 is my DVD player. So,
yeah. All right. Well, again, I don't get a chance to talk about gaming too much. You know, I'm not like 100% always playing Star Wars games. I play everything, but you know, that's like the main reason why I have the setup I have, you know, is for Star Wars games. Cause I love playing them, you know, and they're a lot of fun, man. So, but let's switch gears. Let's switch gears. Okay. For the main reason why everybody tunes into us is because there's a show that's on, like Chris said, we're in line for one, but we're watching another show and another line, like we're peeking over like the drive-in, right? You know, watching two screens at once. So Bad Batch, we're three. Okay. After today, it was two episodes left, right?
Yes.
And so we got this
breach.
Yeah. So today's episode was called Into the Breach. Right. And so like, I told you guys, I think I texted you and said, hey, I love the episode, but it was just breadcrumbs leading up to the last two episodes. So you could combine last week's and this week's together.
And then we're better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does flow. It could have been a double episode drop.
Mm-hmm.
Or shorten each episode a little bit and make it one half
make hour. Make it one. Episode. Yeah. It's a lot of tiptoeing to that whatever we're leading to. And
that's what I was trying to come up with, something like that today. I was like, I can't explain it in words what's bothering me about the way this went.
Yeah,
tiptoeing is the problem. Yeah. There you go. Thank
it's like there's a it's like we're like 1 foot closer to this to the light, you know. And so I was starting to question. And again, it's not that I enjoyed the hell out of this episode. I thought it was
me too.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thought it was awesome. I think out of all the Bad Batch episodes, this one screams Star Wars to me because of the look, the epicness of certain things, just how it was, right? It was
back really into cool. The faking being an Imperial trope, you know.
Yeah, And again, but I'm like, okay, that gives us two episodes for the season, or not the series finale, meaning that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
And I understand. I mean, we've had it before. Dave Filoni's cool. He could do this.
He always does.
Two episodes can wrap up a lot. You could do a lot in two episodes, right?
You can do a lot in one. We could well be bitching next week.
But my thing was, yes, you could do a lot in one episode or two, but you could do so much more with 14. You could do so much with 14 episodes, dude. Like, do we need to be like, I'm going to pick up this pencil next episodes. I'm going to pick up this cup next episodes. Okay. Now I'm going to go over here. And it's like, wow. You know, that's the problem I had with Bad Batch since day one. Anyway, it's always like a hurry up and wait, right? Hurry up to and wait for whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, we're getting closer. Omega found a way out, but she didn't utilize it. So that's going to come to play later. My fear is like the stuff that they're leaning towards is going to be anticlimactic, right? think about it.
What bothers me about it is it's always, I'm going to escape the moment they show up.
Oh, here we go too. And get someone else captured. It's a vicious cycle.
We always decide to make we always make the moves at the exact same time. It's not like she doesn't get to escape because they got there first.
You're right.
It's not like they're going to get there before she tries to escape. It's all going to go on at the same time. That's what always bothers me. That's the one thing probably in this show that bothers me.
That's lucky.
All the time.
Yeah. Here's my thing, right? Okay. So we got Rampart and the remaining Bad Batch on its way, and they hitched a ride. The way they did it was awesome. It was cool. Now they're going to Tantus, right? You got Omega, found an escape hatch. We're sitting with the Force user. We're all going to escape. So there's, to me, the chess. That's like setting up the chess. Unless something else happens, right? There's the chessboard. We're only the cavalry. The last episode is when it says, "Here comes the cavalry." Whatever. Well, that's just the four of them.
The cavalry has arrived.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming to Tantus.
I have a okay.
Right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And then like, what's going to happen is, like I said, deaths might happen. But this is it. The battlefield is this: Omega, the Force users, Bad Batch, and whoever's on Tantus. That's the battlefield. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the theory?
My theory is that they're gonna all get there, they're gonna have Omega in hand, they're gonna be ready to escape, and they're gonna get caught. But the thing is, every time they go somewhere, it's we're gonna go here and we're gonna signal Omega, and Omega's gonna come into the rescue. That seems to be that's a running theme in all of the last episodes, right? Signal Omega and he'll come on in. Now the only one who is there right now. No, they're all there, right? Because they all hit the ship. So if they don't have Omega there, they're going to signal Rex. Rex is the cavalry. That's my thought, is they're going to signal Rex and his crew, and the cavalry has arrived is going to be Rex and Wolf and Gregor and Cody. Maybe we'll finally see Cody. Maybe Cody is the assassin that's been tailing him. Who knows, right? But I don't think it's going to go that. It's not going to be a clean escape, and the cavalry's already on their way. So unless the next episode is nothing but Omega and those Force kids climbing through a ventilator shaft.
Which it might be.
That's what it's going to be.
It could be.
What's the next episode called?
It's the Great Escape. We're going to get the Great Escape next week. What's that?
It's called Flash Strike.
Yeah, I mean, Flash Strike.
Then you got somebody else. Like, the other thing was the cavalry's not the good guys.
That too. But my thing is, I'm looking at it going like, okay, the show is what it is. It hasn't done anything like groundbreaking anyway. So I think the cavalry is the Bad Batch. And I think that we're just going to have some deaths. That's my
Or we have brought in a recent bounty hunter who is not about this M count thing, who knows these guys are looking for Tantus, who is going to have a spinoff show, who I think is going to end up with Omega. And I'm going to start saying Omega because everybody on this damn episode says Omega.
The kids right? say it. The Bad Batch says Omega.
Yeah. I hear Omega when they say it. But anyway,
Hunter says Omega.
Yeah, but I think that's the way it's going to go, right?
What's that? But when Omega says her own name, she says it with that accent. I'm Omega, right?
Right.
So of course, the kids who hear it whenever she introduces herself.
That's a cool like little detail, right? Right?
Yeah,
that's
anyway,
a cool little detail.
Yeah, because I was kids Omega.
Yeah, because I was honestly paying attention to that specific thing. And then I was like, maybe her name this whole time was Omega. And then Hunter said Omega. I'm like, there we go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
good. But yeah, so I think the cavalry could be Palpatine or the bad guy. It could be any of those, right? Yeah. I mean, probably Rex is the most logical. Honestly, right? Rex is the most logical. The most fun is Asajj.
Yeah.
The coolest is Palpatine. No, Palpatine showing up and then stopping everybody and tearing them off and everybody dies. That's the coolest.
That would be awesome.
Don't think we're going to see Asajj again. I think Asajj is going to be in her own show, whatever that may be.
Or the very end of this one.
Could be where they hand her off. You know?
Because the comment still was, right, we're going to explain this stuff, but they didn't say when. They didn't say when that payoff was going to be in this show.
And I was afraid that it was going to be in Tales of the Jedi, but then Tales of the Jedi took a hard right turn, and now we've got Tales of the Empire. So Asajj is still coming.
So if we don't see her in Bad Batch, it's actually kind of cool because then we are pretty much guaranteed to get a show.
Yes.
Right? So if we see her again, there's that might...
searing question out question. There still. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. See that again. It's like here's a lot of ways this can go down, and it's fun to speculate and it's fun to talk about it. It's just like I said, you know, I'm at that point where, especially with all of the Clone Wars episodes, all of the Rebels, and all the Bad, like there's so many of you sitting. It's like a trudge to kind of. You know, sit there. So I'm like,
you know what the drag would be? Is if it's Morgan Elsbeth's story that brings back Asajj. Not a drag. But then all of a sudden it would be like, oh, that was the comeback and we didn't get a real show. That would be the part. Because I could see that because she's the one left on Dathomir, right? Right. In the trailer, everything we've seen so far, she's going to be the last sister.
Yeah.
So she could be still on Dathomir when Quinlan brings Asajj there.
Yeah,
and then does whatever she has to do, dark magic, to bring her up
somehow. Yeah,
or summon whatever she has to summon. Right.
Yeah.
I mean that would be the shit part.
We got Quinn the Quesadilla checking in. What I miss? Well,
you wrap. Okay, start back up.
Yeah. All right. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the
welcome to the Sarlacc Digest. Wait, we've got. Let me see. We're gonna do some shadow council.
There we go. And we're here.
Video games are really annoying. Yeah, okay. Where about you're caught up, man.
You miss some video game talk. We're getting caught up on the Bad Batch, and it's almost like I think it's I'm putting on the table of an anticlimactic but yet sad emotional ending, but not the epic ending that we were kind of like not hoping, but just kind of like theory crafting towards since the start of this season three, because how it was setting things up, and I was like, oh my god, again, why make it two or three epic shows or episodes when you can have 14 epic ones? You know,
what if Flash Strike isn't this crew? What if we're not looking at Bad Batch or
man, that just leaves 20 minutes to wrap it all up.
No, but that's perfect because then whatever we get into right now sets up whatever, and then all of a sudden the cavalry arrives on the last episode. Boom, the Omega thing is done.
Oh, wow.
You know, because they've done that in other shows. I mean, why not?
Right. So they spend the whole next episode with, say, Rex and the crew doing something somewhere else, and then they get a call, and then the cavalry has arrived. Is everybody arriving on Tantus at once?
Something completely different. Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Man.
Has Boba Fett ever been called Alpha?
Only in the show.
Not to him. He was referred to as the Alpha. Yes.
Yeah.
Nala Say or
they've never said like Boba Fett Alpha.
They
like
said Bo. I thought they said Boba, but maybe the way it was alluded to.
Yeah.
There's only one other unaltered. Blah blah blah.
Right.
and she, and obviously her name's Omega. So the term Alpha and Omega, Alpha Omega means beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, there's a link somewhere with that saying, calling them the beginning.
Well, yeah,
and
we've
the
been,
end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, right. And again, the only person that Nala Say is the one who engineered Omega. And not from the purpose of, or as request, it wasn't a request. She did it, I'm assuming, unless I missed something, it wasn't a request from anybody, but it was found out that Omega was existed, and then they were experimenting, and they found out that her, I don't know, man, it's like, it's getting convoluted for me a little bit now, right? It's like,
yeah, because I don't, you know what, that's right, because I don't remember why.
Yeah, I think so.
She's older than the Bad Batch.
Yeah,
I think she's the original. I think she's one of the original clones. I think Alpha and Omega were both cloned at the same time.
They, you know what? No, she looks older in this episode more so than ever before. So, I mean, it could be close. Because Boba during the Clone Wars was getting up there. Like, we were starting to see him. He was in prison in an episode. I mean, he was Boba had to be a little bit older, a little bit.
I think he's the same age. He's a teenager. Well, I mean.
If this is my thing, right? Django
she's said, barely you can use me. She was a kid, it felt like when we met her.
Yeah. You know? Django said, you can use me to create this clone army, knowing that all these accelerated clones are basically just fodder death, right? They're gonna die within a 10-year span, let's just say. But I need an unaltered clone for me as my
prodigy. But she's not unaltered.
No, I know, which but is like weird, but it's right. It's like, so Django requested an unaltered clone of himself. Nala Se took it upon herself to do an unaltered clone. I don't think without Django's knowledge at all. Like, I think she just did it with the DNA that they had, the material, for whatever reason that Nala Se was using that for. And when it was discovered that that's why they had this kid, when they blew up Kamino, they had, and that's when Omega was there, and she was just there as the right hand person of Nala. I don't think Nala Se at the time. It was someone, the other one that died. Was it Nala? Okay.
Yeah.
And that, again, as I'm trying to put this into like this timeline thing, like what was the purpose of her even being created? If it was,
if she was just going to be a lab assistant, right?
If it was just a lab assistant, an unaltered lab assistant.
Well, she's not unaltered.
No,
because
the older one is
right. She's been altered, and all the stuff she has, whether it's force or whatever, but she has everybody else's traits. Maybe I don't know if that's the force doing that, or if they put that in her where she, that's, you know what I mean?
That's the question, right? And and that's, again, those are the kind of things that you were hoping that this finale wouldn't just be about
in
rescuing
the next 40
people.
Minutes.
It wouldn't just be about rescuing and their safety. It would be like, there's some deep cuts in there that still needs to be, I mean, in our minds, we're raising these questions, you know, for a reason, right?
So how long after Revenge of the Sith is the Bad Batch? We're assuming it's about 2 years by this point, because she's aged a little bit, 2 or 3 years, right? Or
we're in season 3. We're at least, I think we're at least 3 years.
Started at 6. How many years was the end from the Mustafar battle to the end of Revenge of the Sith? Was it days, weeks, what? Like, because the ships were different. Remember when we found? Well, no, because we had the funeral for Padme, so it was right after. So.
Oh, okay. So if I'm just trying to figure out the age thing, if Boba was made 10 years prior to Attack of the Clones, because he was 10, and the war was 3 years, so that's 13 years right there. And then we're another 2 or 3 years. That means that just Boba 15, is 15. 15 or so. So she's about 13. So yeah, I think Boba is a little bit older than
Omega. It makes sense if she was created after.
This
has been
going on about a year. The whole series is about a year.
Okay. But she definitely did change between
100%, dude.
Seasons 2 and 3.
A lot.
Well, then she, if it's only been a year, then I want to say she and Boba are probably about the same age, right? Or maybe a year difference?
I could still go with
it's
the
hard,
year.
It's hard, cuz I would go with, like I said, it's hard to tell, right? Because she looks younger than they've created her, but it's a different little bit of style too. So hard to tell until they, did they do Omega's age? Oh,
I don't know. It just, for some reason, it just clicked on me. Like, I mean, I've always known that they've called them the Alpha and the Omega.
Right.
But what's the connection of that, those names?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
you're right.
Did they try to make Boba, a force sensitive clone, and
maybe in the creating of Boba when he was an unaltered clone, maybe Nala Se discovered something while doing it that was like, okay, maybe I can enhance it to a way where it's a different host to the M count thing. But Nala Se obviously knew it was an M count thing. That's why she hit her, hide her blood samples. And she knew that she eventually knew what they were doing on Tantus and knew that Omega could be a host for them.
And that Omega would be safer with the Bad Batch than she would with Cad Bane.
Yeah. Yeah. And if that's by accident or by design, that's, like I said, that's the question that I don't know if we'll get that answer in two. Well, we could get that answer because they can have a two stories running simultaneously, with the Flash strike over here and then going, because which I think we will get, I think it'll be left on a cliffhanger, and then the Calvary arriving is going to be the thing. None of these titles in this Bad Batch has been like the end all be all. It's always like Juggernaut, right? Juggernaut is a vehicle when it was a very small part of that episode versus what everything else they did.
Hey, you know what I mean? You know what so I looked up Flash Strike just to see if there's a definition for the term Flash Strike, right? Because we all assume it's like some big attack, right? That's what you first think, right? So now I started thinking Force Lightning. Maybe that's something like that. And I'm thinking Palpatine, but the actual, it's called when workers go on a sudden strike without giving any prior notice to an employer, right? It's just a flash strike. So you have all those doctors. These kids, see? Right? Or everybody uprises, because you know how they do with their titles and things. So
yeah, what's her name? The doctor isn't there. Her story isn't done because she's still, they show conflict with her almost every scene, right?
I'm the head doctor.
Yeah.
Right. Back up off it.
I think the flash strike is, she's probably going to discover, and I'm just throwing this out there, but she's probably going to discover that Omega's escape plan is whatever. She's going to organize a flash strike to allow it to happen, but not directly.
And then the Calvary is just a bad batch. It's just again, a bad batch.
It's just that's what I'm saying. When I'm watching this, I'm going,
and when they escape, nobody has coordinates. They hook up with Asajj, right? And Omega says, look, what I did, I built a tunnel and me and the kids escaped. We should do that all over the galaxy.
That's cool.
This is the way.
I'm sorry. I'm could you imagine if that is true and it ends up being just, a big worker strike where they walk off the job? I'm like, come on.
In order for Omega to escape, I could see that happening. And I could see, made a big deal about the capturing of that dim sun alien, because it looks like a dim sun, like the food. That white thing with the
He looks like Kung Fu Panda's master.
I want to eat him. It's like, it looks delicious.
So now you're saying the scientists have a Teamsters union where they just all meet up and they're just like, we're gonna strike.
Or the commandos.
Yeah.
Teams, but they all seem pretty hardcore though. I don't think any of the clone. There's no clones on Tantus. No regular clone troopers, right? It's only commandos.
Just commandos.
Commandos are the
or the assassins.
No regs would they would turn.
Well,
all right,
man. Okay, so again, two episodes we have. A lot has.
I hate when we do that because we're just going to get the answer, but we're going to be upset next week because it's going to be like,
if it's more baby steps. If we get an episode next week, it's just them on the ship. Echo has to come back, hide because he's stowaway'd, and then they have the ship underneath, right? And it's gonna be a journey. And then we have Omega, working out the plan with the kids. If we have just that, and it's like one episode's remaining to kind of all these questions and all these check marks, because unless it carries over to another show or something like that, like I said, I could see them leaving the Asajj parts up for the another show, but there's a lot of this Omega stuff. There's a lot of this M count. What is really taking place? Necromancer. There's a lot of stuff.
We need to see what's in those cylinders that Palpatine was looking at. Right?
Gotta
see it, right?
I think. Well, I was talking about the alien. Are we gonna see that kid being reunited, but only that kid and nobody else? Like Omega won't survive. The Bad Batch won't survive, but we will find. That's where it's almost dim like that sum kid. She makes it back, or he makes it back to the parents, but he was abducted by Cad Bane. That's the bittersweet moment where it's like returning those three, four sensitive kids. But in the meantime, everybody dies doing it, preserving Mount Tantus. And then again, everybody, it's kind of like,
yeah, ending their story. That's the thing. They're preserving Mount Tantus even to this point, right? So I was really happy with that today, the way they did it. Nobody's coming. They're going to protect Mount Tantus. So that's going to be able to continue for a long time because there's a lot of stuff in there, right? It's like, you can't destroy it this early. There's with the Bad Batch. It's got to be a much bigger crew, better crew. You need somebody much more.
Mando, the cavalry, a cavalry type thing, right?
You need that kind of crew. So three seasons worth of us getting to know this crew and getting with Omega and everything.
Yeah,
just for them to die, so we can see characters that we've only been with for like 5 minutes get the happy ending.
Yes.
Because here's the thing, Joe. You have to put it into the big picture, right? What story can these characters move on to besides one or two? Or like I said, with Omega, with Asajj, or like the clones are going to die out eventually, and they've been through hell. They've been through hell.
Whoever survives goes with Rex, sends Omega with Asajj.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
They split up at that
point. Now, here's another thing, Chris. Like, besides, and Scott, you guys, like, besides the a main cavalry coming, they could still escape Tantus, and still Tantus would be preserved because the way, and there was a very strict point of how the coordinates were sent to the computer to that specific ship, and then the ship went to Tantus. So nobody knows exactly where. So even if they escape, they have no clue unless they
have a beacon and they can signal whoever it is
signaling
adventures. Yeah.
But again, it's all Imperial, right? So if they have an stolen Imperial ship, they're on an Imperial freighter on Tantus.
Kind of block around Tantus where you can't signal around near it. You know, but you can't go too far, but there's something jamming something.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let me tell you real quick on Omega today. It was the first time she did anything that gave me chills, right? Like when she was talking to the kids, whispering, and she says, "Hey, I'm gonna tell you a secret." And she goes through the whole thing. She's like, "And I'm taking you with me." I'm like, "Ooh, Omega gave me chills." I was like, "That was pretty slick."
Nice.
Seconds later, with the "I dig danger" or whatever she said, right? Or "I dig a challenge." I like a challenge.
I'm a challenge. Get
out of here. You know, I was like, dude, such cool writing right into that. Like,
fall down an elevator shaft.
My middle name is Danger. That's the only thing I've been for.
Taking off all the little towels and everything.
Man, I was like, you guys are lame.
Omega She's Danger. She's taking off all the little
towels and just makes this big old ruckus.
Yeah.
So she's taking off all those tiles and everything and get all quiet and just big ass ruckus.
How did she put them together so fast?
Moving rocks, dude. Girl.
Moving rocks. Again, there's another thing. We got to see her move rocks by the end of this thing, too.
She may have it. We haven't seen it because those tiles did go up pretty quick.
Here's an epic moment. Her holding the destruction, just like Kanan, right? Destruction behind while the Bad Batch can escape reluctantly by being pulled back, and then everything collapses on her or whatever in that moment.
If that happened, because she would have had no Jedi training whatsoever.
Either did Rey.
The calls of Mary Sue would
of course, but we already enormous. Did that route, right? Just double down on it at this point. I understand. Trust me, I understand. But at this point, just double down on it. Like, cares? Nah, I know. I'm with you. I know. I'm with you. She's moving rocks, though. Somehow, some way, something
is going to happen. By picking one up, moving it over here, and setting it down. That is how she is moving rocks. She is not a Force user. So, anyway.
We got Michael Nostalgia checking in, of course. Always love to hear about baby Abigail listening while I watch on the Google picture frame and feeding her a bottle in the nursery. Hope you guys and the family are doing well. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for checking in, man. It's always cool to get an update. So Mando Mike is saying, Chris, you and I were both annoyed with Omega from the beginning. That has that changed for you in this season since I haven't seen it yet this season? Like, he hasn't watched the season.
Yeah. I like her, dude. I'm cool with her. That was the corniest thing she's done all season, honestly. Yeah. And that wasn't even that bad. It was just like, from chills to that was just crap.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of the season, honestly, I've dug her the whole time. She's not as as we talked about a couple weeks ago, like Filoni has a way of giving you an annoying kid. Well, even Lucas. Mm-hmm. Luke was whiny, right? And becomes the hero, right? Everybody, you don't start out maybe like, oh, this whiny kid and his,
Yeah.
Get his power converters and blah, blah, blah. You could do the same thing with everybody, with Ahsoka, with Ezra, and here with Omega. And it, by the end, he's created something where you're like, damn, I watched this kid grow, and now they're a hero, and now I really want to see what happens to this kid.
Or it's when they mature and they stop with that selfishness, or it's not selfishness.
They're really good. Star Wars is good, then, man. That's the core of it. We're not paying attention to that, how good that is. And the shows that are missing that kind of stuff, like Rey didn't get that at all. I didn't think she, you know, she would kind of Luke's story, I guess, but it was Luke came off 90 and became the Jedi Knight. You know,
there was no character development because there was no time to develop her character, right?
It was
one section to one section. And there was, I think, 1 year between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. And that's not enough to learn about who you are.
So you couldn't see change in that, right? You could see a change from Luke to Empire. Definitely change from Luke to Return, you know?
That's why I'm kind of excited to see what happens with her in the future movie where it takes place, like, what, 15 years in the future? I mean, because you know she's seen some shit by that point, right? I mean, she's been through some stuff. So it'd be interesting to see. Plus, without the challenges of an Empire to fight or a Sith to fight, it's going to be an interesting dynamic in the future.
It might be that story that we've kind of expected post Return of the Jedi. You know what I mean? Where you wouldn't just repeat. Right. Yeah, it's not a rinse and repeat. It was like this new, a different threat or a different kind of dark light side. Let's get into the dark light side stuff. So I know, like I said, the Mandoverse does kind of bring us up to rebuilding that threat and resistance or whatever. But it's a cool ride. You know, I'm in it. And we'll have to just take the sequels and put it right there. But that fresh start is going to be that Rey movie, where I am curious to see as much as I don't want to revisit that time frame anymore. But I am curious. I'm honestly curious about what's the surrounding politics. Right.
I'm not ready to jump off that into that one real quick because Omega is still on my head now. With that topic, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We guys stay here and then we'll jump there. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
No problem. But I'd rather see Omega honestly at this point than Rey. I'd rather see Omega get farther on. And I think we will. I think that's actually the point where she'll be the survivor. She'll do this thing we're talking about. Right. And she, that's the best chance for us to see her. Why wouldn't we see her in live action so many years later and all of a sudden cross paths with a character we've been dealing with. Yeah. Right. And why not? You're
learning about
her. And they never crossed paths until the Mando for some reason. We're dealing with clones. We're dealing with all the cloning stuff. She's going to be chasing that down. She could have something to do with Grogu in the first place. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
and like I said, and maybe that's the point of her not being an unaltered is that she can grow age wise into that future stuff rather than being aged out like clones. Maybe that was like the sole purpose of that. Like
her whole test to see if she can make something force sensitive.
Yeah.
The whole reason for that, and then let her grow normally. Wow.
Yeah.
I got chills right there. That was it. She was just doing it to be a scientist and did it. Right? She said, let me see if I can do this. And
I don't know. Mando Mike is asking who would play a live action Omega.
Daniel Logan, he is not doing anything right now. He's fine. Just put a blonde wig on him. He's good to go.
I'm sure he's photoshopped it already by this point. So
right. I mean, he's always Boba. So, and Django.
Yeah.
And of course, we got Matt Logic checking in also. So, what's up, man? Thank you.
Who would? I don't know. Let them, they do pretty good in casting. So, I'll be happy. Well, what's the actress that does Omega look like?
Nothing like Omega whatsoever. No? I'll pull an image of her real quick.
She sounds a lot like her.
Makes sense, actually. That doesn't make sense.
Crack me out.
Mike, isn't this is Leia, right? No, that's
Judith from The Walking Dead was young Rey.
Young Rey, thank you. That's why I was like, I knew there was a Star Wars connection already.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's Omega.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna work.
No, can we not make it work?
I don't know.
No, it doesn't look enough like Boba.
I mean,
you got to kind of, they have to be.
I mean, clone-ish, right? It's a female Boba Fett, not a sister sibling or anything. It is a direct female Boba Fett.
But I mean, like, just because it's a female Boba Fett,
well, what I'm saying is not as
the nose, the brows, it's not, probably. I don't
know. Yeah,
she's not close enough.
Right.
No. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, that was the only shot there. So
yeah,
if it had come up, we were like, "Oh, that'd have been cooler."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. This again, another question on the table. Omega in 15 years, or it'd be 45 years.
Who's the voice of
oh shit,
the Doctor?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, who's the adult Omega?
Okay, let me.
Yeah, challenge accepted.
Damn. That's Omega. See, I hate to sit here and not talk while he's doing it, but now I'm kind of excited because there's no reason to bring Emery in. None. Right? There has been no reason to have her until this.
So
if that voice actress looks like her
in this ratio.
By the way, Scott's right. I think they're the same age. Boba was 10 in Attack of the Clones.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Revenge of Sith 3 years, 13 yeah. years. And oh, I just really, I read really it thinking that she's about, well. Yeah, she's about 13 to probably 14 in this episode by this season.
Well, she'd be like 60 years old by the time the Rey movie come out, right?
She'd be Omega. As old as Boba.
Yeah, 60, 65, maybe older. I don't know. It's around that time. Or 60.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he was 10 in Attacks 3.
Because again, Boba Fett was 5 years.
He's like 50. He's like 50.
Yeah.
Now I mean it's not I'm not like, no, that couldn't work.
Blonde hair, it could work.
And actually, any kind of hair, because she has to dye it to look different. You know what I mean?
Well, Omega's got blonde hair, right? So
she can hide it. She can dye it.
I'm just saying, put blonde hair on the actress.
Her hair
on the actress.
Yeah, yeah, it would work. It would work. yeah. I mean, I'm not against. I think that works. That's what's happening. She's going live action in Mando.
All right, there we go.
In Mando, yeah.
Or one other. I mean, you know, the verse. One of them.
Would I rather see Rey or her? I don't know. That's a tough. As much as I don't like the sequels, you know, Rey's still a cool character to me.
We're gonna get them both anyway. We got to wrap this up first, right? So
yeah. All right. Well, one of the main things that I noticed, like I said, I think I said this episode harkened back to like Star Wars, the look and the feel. Of it all, like just the stormtroopers walking across the halls, the music, the very dark tones to it. And I was kind of like trying to make a point a few episodes ago about shows not showing the epicness of Star Wars world building, if you will, like matte paintings and bigger than life things. We're like I said, we're in the desert sets, we're in bar sets, we're in like the Acolyte looks like there's just taking place in backwoods kind of, you know, bars and stuff like that so far. Very little bit of atmosphere and all that stuff. Now, when this shot came up with the space station and leading up to it, I was just like, oh my God, I actually looked back at it. And I was like, this felt so Star Wars to me in the sense of the grand scale of it, especially, I mean, this shot might not do it justice, but especially when we're docking in a thing and it's got that whole, I mean, the space station is bigger than what it was.
Star Destroyers floating around.
Dude, it really made me smile. Like that, there's Star Wars. There's the Star Wars, right? Like that, it's, you know, stuff. You go back to the original trilogy stuff, and it's like it's this world. George Lucas did an amazing thing by showing us the landscape first and then the interiors, right? Always, it was Mos Eisley. It was like Death Star. It was like all these things. Where I felt Kenobi lacked, Mando does. There's certain parts of Mando does really good at. You know what I mean? But it's not like all the time and those trumpets would hit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Of like Star Wars. So it's hard for me to put it into words. I guess what I'm trying to get at, but that is an example. That shot. So when
it's grand, it's big. Yeah. It's just bigger than everything else, right?
Yeah,
it's even world building, in animation. You know? It pulls you in.
It
makes you part of a bigger unit. That's how I feel anyway when I see something like that. Right?
Yeah, it's a bigger universe.
Because to that point, that shot right here, what it reminds me, when you brought it up, I didn't think about this till you brought it up, right? And when I think back as a kid, the biggest shot you would ever think of in the movie was when the Falcon went into the Death Star.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And how tiny it was, and the guy standing there with no railings, all that. But, you know, as a kid, though, that shot, you're like, damn.
Yes.
That's cool. And that's what that is, right?
And like... The radio comms and I was just like, that is cool. Like, again, that shot or this episode reminded me of that. It just reminded me of that. And I was like, man, it was just cool.
Look at the size of the Star Destroyers that are docked to that.
Yeah.
That space station. I mean, the epic with Coruscant in the background too. Yeah. It's just, it just gives you a sense of scale.
Yes. Sense of scale. And it extrapolates to the galaxy, the other planets and world versus, like I said, you know, we follow somebody into a watering hole, into a desert scene or what like that. That's what we've been getting, you know, like these kind of like smaller segments of a bigger world, which is kind of it's refreshing to get reminded of how cool Star Wars is.
Hey, have we ever seen a Star Destroyer docked
on Scarif? Remember they had the ring. Yeah, the Star Destroyers were around the ring.
All right.
Yeah.
That was
pretty not in the Death Star or anything like that.
Not before that, right?
Yeah.
Another cool fact about it though is that and Chris had pointed out in our private discussion, and that is that the space station is pretty much one of the McQuarrie drawings of what the Death Star could have looked like, right?
Yeah. And we know how much they love to
do that. Filoni does
blend that, right?
Which that, yeah.
I think I'm so down with that. Like, absolutely. I want more of it. Yeah, bring all of McQuarrie stuff to life.
Yeah, between Rebels
and this, I mean, you really do get a sense of it. Like the stormtroopers right now are the McQuarrie stormtroopers, right?
Yeah.
Everything on Lothal was McQuarrie based. It's fantastic.
Even into the live action stuff, right? Like the Mandalorian does really good stuff. We got Bondage Brittany checking in, giving us some more Omega. She says, I figured out. Not Rots, but Omega will reach out to command animals like Zilla Beast to help with diversion, like a saw shoulder. 100%.
You're right. There's no reason to show that if you're not going to make it pay off somewhere.
You got Gungi trying to tune her into nature. You have Asajj with the water monster. You got, it all has to pay off, right? What did you say, Scott? If you're going to show it here, you have to show it later.
Yeah, it's the whole gun theory, right? In a movie, if you show a gun in the second act, by the third act, it's getting fired.
Yeah. So she's controlling. She's gonna be riding that Zilla Beast and moving.
HasLab.
Whoa,
a HasLab Zilla Beast.
Nice. If we can't get Boba on a Rancor, we can get Omega on a Zillow.
We also got Papa Schmitty checking in. What's up, guys? Been super busy, but catching the shows on replay. Keep it nerdy. Thank you, man. Thank you for catching the replay also. And again, never be shy to put in the comments if you have something up that came up during the show, and we'll always respond. You know, we're always in there rewatching ourselves anyway. So
perfect example is Quinn the Quesadilla. He's been going through and watching all of the old shorts that we've got. I keep getting notifications that here's a comment on that Quinn the Quesadilla is on this thing from a year and a half ago, and I'm like, oh wow, cool,
nice.
Thank you, man, for your support. Really appreciate it.
100%
the hits.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff we've laid out. Some stuff. There's
classics,
you know,
back there. Dark Leia. Let's go back to that. Come on.
I still think that's a better.
They missed
theory than what we got. You know what I mean?
Darth Leia would have rocked.
For context, back in the day when The Last Jedi came out or was coming out, there was a, I don't know if it was a tweet or whatever, the mention that said, you're going to see, what was it? The darkest twist in Star Wars history?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So we darkest took that episode. Quote and we ran with it. And we had Leia turning bad.
That's what
in an epic fashion. And it wasn't just like just turned, no, we broke it down, and it's in our audio replay. So
there's probably a couple different ones where he went at that, but that first one was,
it worked, man. The twist on what we had worked. It really did. So,
and the twist was actually Kylo killing Snoke in advance, you know, before the third episode. So that was the actual dark twist. But
what we got,
what we got, but
the dark twist is the bad guy is gonna have a redemption story. Oh my god,
what?
No,
where have I?
Oh, speaking of bad guys and redemption, he's not gonna redeem, I think he's gonna, with Rampart, who by the way was awesome in this.
Yeah, episode. Rampart was cool.
I like Imperials anyway. I kind of like an ex-Imperial acting like an Imperial a lot.
Yeah. Right? I do too, man.
And when he's all, I miss this. Oh,
yeah.
Man. That guy,
yeah,
you don't. That means he's not better. He's still an asshole.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Like, love it. He was accepting his duty as an Imperial by becoming a prisoner. Like, that's my duty. Right. But he's also had the self-preservation to him, too. So, where he did accept their, I'm going to rescue you. You got to show us the way. He did show him. I mean, well, so far,
he's wanted to go away and he knows he's going to die on this mission. He might have a shot to turn them in, is might be his next play. That's your, that's your flash strike.
There you go. We don't have enough time for all this stuff. It's
they're 50 minute episodes each.
Well, then, okay,
oh, I like that.
Then we have enough time, but yeah.
Well, look, you know, a movie can wrap up, start and wrap up in 2 hours, right? I mean, we've got
sure.
Probably 48 minutes worth of, maybe 50 minutes worth of stuff left.
You got a first act of, or the last act, basically the last act of a movie, right? And yeah, I mean, Mando did it in season 3. They wrapped up a lot in 20, 30 minutes. I mean, a lot. So.
Yeah, and I was satisfied. We had everything we needed, right?
So I'm going to go check in with the comment. Yeah, this should be. Oh, okay. Let's see here. Just real fast before I get to Michael's comment. Basil G, Easter egg. There is a Star Destroyer docked into the Death Star in Rogue One.
I gotta watch Rogue One again.
Yeah.
Shucks.
The 17th time. All right.
I would love to revisit Rogue One. I think Rogue One is a fantastic addition. Michael's saying Scott's Foosh skeleton review cracked me up when you said, I just don't know why I bought this. I can hear Dario in my head saying why I buy this. Yeah.
And I guarantee you it was because it came with a pumpkin head, and I thought that looked really cool. So I guarantee that's why I did it. And no, to respond to Mando Mike, I will not sell you that because it's really cool. So there you go.
That's your Sleepy Hollow fetish, right?
Exactly. Exactly. My favorite non-Star Wars movie is Sleepy Hollow. I don't know why. I love that movie.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to discuss that in one of our Beyond the Pits.
There we go. Do we have
check
to?
Out Scott's issues?
Or yeah. The movie? No, his dude. Issues. Yeah.
That's a separate show. That's the Sarlacc Therapy Hour.
Sarlacc Beyond Help.
Beyond Help.
Are you talking about the Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow?
Yes.
Casper Van Diem at the WonderCon. You could have ran up to him and hugged him.
I could have, but no, I liked it when he got cut in half. That was really cool. There's something about blood, comedic blood spatter that's just it works for me. I like it. So yeah,
yeah,
I like that flick.
yeah,
it was all right. All right,
we can jump to for future Ray now if you want. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Future Ray. Yeah, it's,
I didn't want to screw with your future talk instead of the Bad Batch talk.
I was just trying to put what you said playing. As far as like I'm the playing. Like putting Omega with Ray, right? Trying to put that again there. That honestly, that's kind of like the coolest things that we do in when we stand in line is we try to like make these connections. Not all of it makes sense, there's always a line to a theory that anybody comes up with, right? Yeah. And then that's the cool thing about it is someone comes up with a theory like can't get there because all this has to happen and is already blocked by this whatever. So that's still preserved. We can throw that out there. Omega survives up until the Rey movie and.
The Mando movie, at least. I don't know about the Rey movie. The Mando movie.
Yeah, Mando movie, definitely.
Because there's cloning going on there. That's what I'm saying. That's how she wraps it up. That's where they're going to meet. Not the Rey part. She'll be in the Mandoverse.
If they can't get Grogu, they'll get... I mean, Rey was the same kind of...
Could you imagine if the whole... Because everybody's been complaining, right, that the Mandalorian lost its way because it was no longer about a bounty hunter going on the search for bounties and whatnot, right? It was... It delved too far for people's little brains to follow the Mandalorian history, right? But what if they are sent on a mission, a bounty, and their ultimate bounty is to grab Omega?
Yeah.
Omega is their bounty. I mean, that would be mind blowing. I would be.
And then the whole conflict is Mando discovering who she is. And because remember, that was the purpose of Grogu, but he had to change of heart with Grogu. And then now it's all about negating all that stuff. So it'd be like, oh, it's the same purpose. They need you for your M counts and stuff.
It's weird though, because it's not her M count that they're after. It's the ability for her M count to, or her blood to accept the M count. Right. No. But they were after.
They replicate her. No, hold on. Again, her M count replicated. That was the thing. It is her M count. Her M count replicated exactly. But Django's, right? Wasn't that the issue? You can't usually, isn't that what it was or no?
Yeah. No, because again,
they're still confused on that, because the problem is they can't take a person and replicate their M count.
And there is no reason. No. They left it, the Saj episode tells all.
Yeah, kind of.
She tested her. She said to the Bad Batch no to protect her. It's all there. It's not, because otherwise she would just left. Like, Saj don't have time for this crap. She's not that nice. She's like, no, she doesn't have, and she needs to know that she's not special. Because if she knows she's not special, then she won't put herself in that danger.
So here's a question. In The Phantom Menace, right, Liam Neeson, Qui-Gon Jinn, takes the blood for Anakin. He says, Obi-Wan, I need you to run the M count on this specimen. Yeah. And he sends it to him through the Gillette razor into the Queen's Naboo ship.
Yeah.
Does that Naboo ship have a special M count quantifier? Is it in, because it's not in the razor, it's not in the special, it's in the ship. So why the fuck couldn't
Asajj, well, maybe that program's in the cloud.
Her, maybe it's in the cloud. There we go. I'm like, why does the Queen of Naboo starship have the ability to do a blood test and
Funding. This is funding, dude. They just Naboo is a privileged planet, and Asajj isn't from that part of the tracks, she doesn't have that kind of tech. So you got to do,
Gungan privilege, man. I get it.
Yeah, well, it's also a thing like we were just talking about questions not being answered, and in Phantom Menace, when midichlorians were brought up, we went back and we started discussing the sequels and. Are the prequels, right? And stuff. And like, all right, in episode 2, we're going to get more of this explanation or whatever it is. And it was just completely dropped and we never got anything further. So I feel like there was supposed to be a lot more to it that Lucas kind of like, all right, maybe it's.
Well, I mean, but you're right, though. We did in Revenge of the Sith with the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise, because he could manipulate the midichlorians to create life. And it's like, really? You did that whole fucking thing You did that whole thing just so we could do this whole. Wow. Okay.
Well, the virgins. They had to get to the virgins somehow. They had to. I don't know.
Did they though? Did they?
No, they didn't. Anakin didn't have to be that special. He could have just been a rogue Jedi that went bad, and that would have been cool with it. It didn't have to be this,
I like it.
The virgin birth? You love Jesus Skywalker? That's what you're into.
Here's the thing, right? Something like that really puts the chosen one in perspective. Like, oh my God, the Force created this, the being, but it goes to because of the stuff that we've been getting with Disney, right? With the sequels and all that stuff. Darth Vader, and he's not that important in the grand scheme of the things where we deemed him the first 6 films. He was Star Wars. It was Anakin's story. It was his rise of all. And for him to be born that way or to come into existence that way and his whole journey to bring peace to the galaxy was great, right? But then we repeated all this stuff and now we're going with this other things. And that's all about, like I said, the Emperor totally ignored all that stuff. Even in the brand new comics, he treated Vader like crap. If he's this ultimate chosen one virgins thing going on, then you would be like reading into it a little bit more versus almost throwing him away at every point you could.
Yeah, the Emperor
and the sequels threw him away too. So
yeah, the Emperor was constantly trying to find in the new comics has been constantly trying to find a newer, better.
Yeah.
Apprentice that isn't broken, right? But here's Anakin, the chosen one, the ultimate Jedi, the ultimate Force user, and he just wants to discard him. It's just there's so many inconsistencies that just kind of make me scratch my head.
Especially with the prequels making a specific point of Darth Plagueis' story And that cut thing where George had that "I'm your father" moment with Palpatine and Anakin in the opera scene. It was supposed to be that, right? I created you, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, it didn't play out the way of a Anakin centric story. Even Star Wars in general should have been Anakin at the center and everything that had taken place.
Now it's like, more that's Palpatine. How, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's, and some of this is also why we've been doing the Sarlacc Digest pop quiz, right? And a lot of the questions that I've been putting in the pop quiz has been regarding the Darth Plagueis novel, because people really need to read that novel
with it's the greatest so EU book to date, I believe.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's unfortunate that it's Legends. It could still fit in the timeline. There's nothing saying
they could take 90% of that book probably and turn it into canon. You know what I mean? I mean, you would have to kind of like take Darth Maul out of it and take a couple things. But I mean, you could take a lot of that book and put it right in the canon. It'll fit. It'll fit perfectly.
They're about to they're about to acolyte the shit out of
players. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, and, that whole story's changing.
Unless it builds up to Tenebris. You know, I mean, if it builds up to Tenebris.
Is Tenebris in canon right now?
Of course not. I think his name is.
Was he a name of one of the ships, like Revan? Maybe something like that, right?
Yeah. It hasn't been established anywhere in canon. But Plagueis is. Plagueis is canon and his man. And
only his master.
Tenebris is not. So
right. It's Darth Bane, but that's so far in the past.
And everything, everything's up for grabs right now.
Oh, what if the acolyte is Darth Bane? What if they really screw up with the history? They really
and bring him this far, this close bring to.
This close, yeah.
I'd be so angry. Then you would never. Yeah, the rule of two would have only been a year, or 100 years.
100 years.
Yeah, because like how would
for the last century?
Yeah.
Yeah.
how would Yoda? Well, Yoda knows the rule of two.
Bringing you know? Yoda.
So. Yeah, I implemented it.
And they turned
me and Bane.
And they turned Darth Bane into a female.
It would be her. When she comes up there, she's Darth.
They don't need to, because Darth Bane's. If they keep Darth Xana was his apprentice, right? She killed
Xana,
him to become.
Xana was dope. Well, Xana became Bane. We think, right?
That's Xana became left. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't need to do that. So, but man, I that would really suck.
Yeah, I don't like because you know what, it's. All of these characters that we name like EU are specific time eras of things. So if you can't bring it all that close, because there's not enough time for that marinade, like the Sith Civil War. There's not enough time for that kind of stuff to really play out. If the Sith have been extinct for a millennia, then make them be extinct for a millennia, or unknown, or hiding, or whatever they're doing. Right.
Right.
So that's why it'd be so great. When we get to the Dawn of the Jedi, because I guess that has been in the news lately too, is the Dawn of the Jedi. It's not officially called that. It's the era of the Mangold's movie. Mangold, whatever his name is.
Right.
The guy,
It's just the era?
Yeah, it's the Dawn of the Jedi era. Okay, so maybe it'll be called that.
Yeah, even Dawn of the Jedi, the comic, wasn't the Dawn of the Jedi. They had already existed for several centuries before the Dawn of the Jedi comic, so...
Well, before they called themselves Jedi, right? They were Jedi.
Yes,
and the Dawn of the Jedi would have been the separation between the light side users and dark side users.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that's where you get the, because they were all the same, and then with the dark side users, it was the ideology separation, and then that's when shit went haywire. So I'm with it, man. That sounds
so much more exciting.
It does.
Okay, backstory. I had to go to the dentist today, right? Really sucked, but I went to the dentist today, and I'm sitting there, and he's working on my mouth, and all of a sudden he's done, and he says, "So, this new Star Wars movie, this new Star Wars show that's coming out," because he knows that I do this show, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, I get the Acolyte." He goes, "Right, the Acolyte. So, who the hell are these people?" And I'm like, "Well, okay, so this takes place 100 years before the Phantom Menace." And he goes, "Wait, so this takes place before everything?" And I said,
"That's the problem. And he
said, why are they not telling people that in the trailer? Because I don't understand what this is."
Yeah,
but 100 years before the Venom. Why is that not the first line?
All it has to be is a first line, right?
I agree with that.
I mean, that's his thing. He says it looks really cool. And this is not a guy who buys into the current state of, you know.
Yeah.
Right? He's into it. He tells me that whenever he would come home from school every day, he would watch the original trilogy. And those were his Star Wars, right? Good He's man. Watched everything. He loves Ahsoka. He loves everything that's come out. Not a fan of the sequels, but he said, I like this. I see this. I like the way it looks. But what is it?
Yeah.
And I think Disney's really doing it.
Yeah, I have to explain to them because they're like, "Where? Okay, this show." They're like, "Yeah, that's a cool trailer," and I go, "Yeah," and they're like, "Well, so where's the Mandalorian?" I'm like, "Well, you see, it's like Andor comes out. Where's the Mandalorian?" Well, you see,
yeah, and I told them we need like a timeline. We need an ongoing timeline that is consistently moving around,
living, breathing timeline. Yeah,
exactly. And I told them, and they're also working on a show called Dawn of the Jedi, which takes place 30,000 years before everything. And his initial reaction was, oh, I want to see that. And
Like, I mean, think about this. Like, what was the first thing we saw when the Phantom Menace came out? The very first thing, it was the tag. Every saga has a beginning. It put everybody in the mindset of where the new three Star Wars films are going to be taking place. Then you had
Gungans walking through a swamp.
Yeah.
And then we learned what the Gungans were, and it's like, oh,
and it's like, oh, yeah, all
the went away.
I get saggy goosebumps.
Oh man. Oh yeah. So Obi-Wan Kenobi's checking in. Michael Nostalgia saying about you're telling me that Gillette is going into the blood scanning and transmitter technology for future products. If they're smart, they would have done it.
Yeah.
Rhino Hobbies. If it's bad, then we don't have to associate it with all the other films and shows like sequels. Yeah. If you talk about the Dawn of the Jedi stuff, it's so distant.
It makes it easier.
Yeah.
To trash it. Unless.
Wow.
Yoda.
I don't see anything that far back. Well, I mean, I can't say that. I can't say that.
If it's Yoda that causes the issue, you can't unring it. It's there.
Yeah. JJ Williams.
He's one of our alumni from the university. What's up, JJ?
All right. Thank you for checking in. He's saying so much history that they can dig into both legends and speculation. 1,000,000,000%. Kathleen Kennedy made a statement a long time. I'm talking maybe 5 years from now. It's like, we want to explore EU. We want to explore the Knights of the Old Republic era, the Old Republic era. There's so much there.
She said there was no source material, right?
Yeah.
She put her foot in her mouth.
Yeah, she did.
Then she came back and that was about 5 years ago. Then she came back just like about a year or so ago and said, okay,
it's on the table.
She
said basically it's on the table. She
put her foot in her mouth because that caused a lot of issue because that was the problem.
Yeah.
Right, because everybody's like, you have how much source material?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and now that Dave Filoni's in charge of the overall story, so even with going back to the Dawn of the Jedi stuff, Dave Filoni is approving this stuff. He's the one that's going to be gone across his desk. So in Dave we trust, right? So that's where we have to put our faith in. So Manigault can't just write a movie and just put it out there just like the sequel guys did. It has to go through Dave. And now... Yeah. We're always saying Dave's one of us, so what he approves will make sense. Now, if it's good, it's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
The next 2 weeks, we're gonna have this talk again and be like, you know what? Whatever he does, we're fine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's needed this guiding force. That Star Wars has needed his guiding force, right? In the past, especially with the sequels, but
we got sneeze.
Bless you.
Carry on.
I hate that. But in Dave we trust. I mean, that's just
the like bottom line. We do this every time. We're going to be fine. Everything's
next
cool.
week. We'll exactly when we start getting nervous, that's our mantra. In Dave we trust.
Cool.
In
Dave Dave's trust. Here. Dave Dave's here. Dave's got it. Dave's holding my hand through this. I'm good.
Help me, Dave. I'm starting to hyperventilate.
Right?
Was Dave associated with the Acolyte?
Well,
I think that he's over all of. You mean did he come on? Did he come on after it was already?
He came on after it was already in the can.
Like a skeleton like a James Gunn thing.
It's a Mr. Yeah. Stevie situation. Skeleton Crew and Acolyte are the last two, I believe, that and Andor. Well, the maybe not season two, because Andor would come across as season two would come across as Des, I think.
Is that but they were already rolling on that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And none of it's gonna impact, like, you know, change things. Where I think the things that would come across Dave's desk if it would change the history or change characters or adding characters that Dave would know, be like, hey, no, because we can't have this because this happened. I think that's where he looked at the Acolyte and go, yeah, this is all fine. Skeleton Crew. Yeah, 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 this is cool.
Because, like you said, with the Mr. No. Stevie thing, right? Mr. Stevie is, you know, the end all be all, the savior of Hasbro now, Star right. Wars right now, right? But they're still working 18 months behind schedule.
Yes,
right?
Yes. There's a yeah.
The previous
yeah.
Lord on High, it's his stuff that's currently seeing the light of day, right?
Yeah.
So right now, the Acolyte and the
Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, Skeleton Crew. Thank you. Those are from previous. Yeah.
Now, the Rey movie, the Manigold movie, the Grogu movie, that's Dave. Or that's the stuff that is going to be in production on his watch. You know, that's going to be his watch. And that's all coming 2026. So we got time. We got a lot of time to digest things that are coming back to theaters and in the bigger picture and stuff. So eat more greens, do some cardio.
Yes, sir. That'll kill me.
Yeah. Let's see here. Obi-Shan saying he hit a con in Pittsburgh and Cleveland this weekend. Got to meet Ezra, Sabine, and Morgan Elsbeth.
I'm so jealous.
Awesome.
Jealous. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So Andy's Pandies. What's up, fellas? Checking in. We got JJ also saying maybe after Acolyte was finished. Yeah. That then could have been told this is what has becomes more budget. Are you talking about?
Oh, like he couldn't change it. If he would have had something to say, it was already done.
Yeah. It's
it, but right. If there was anything detrimental, it would have been changed. I'm sure he sees at this point. I even think before he was named what he was, he still would have been brought on anything Force,
of course,
especially the Acolyte. Right. And that's a lot of Force stuff. Disney
Plus, I believe so.
Disney Plus stuff. Too, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of the brainchild behind everything that's come through Disney.
I'd be surprised if we don't see him as a producer credit on there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Same with probably Favreau, too.
I think but so.
We forget about Favreau existing.
I know. Yeah.
Right. At the same time, though, we did not on Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? His name was not in the credits on Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Right. Because that was here's $50. Go make Kenobi. go do this.
Here's some action figures and $50.
And you can tell he had nothing to do with Kenobi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, guys. Let's see here. Joey, this is a question for you. Are you looking forward to Acolyte or no?
Hell no.
Really?
No, I am.
It's dark.
No, okay.
Like, jeez.
Come on. Like, no, of course I am. It's a story that we're gonna get some lore on the dark side, and you know, hopefully some more.
I'm hoping, man. I really
some
am.
More reasoning on how the Sith was hidden, and so
it's murder and mayhem, buddy.
Yes.
Murder and mayhem. Guts.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Mando Mike's also saying that he's looked on Wiki. Filoni isn't listed anywhere with the Acolyte. Yeah, I mean,
that's just a secret helper.
Well, I think
our point we're toast.
Well, our point was, yeah, he might have nothing to do with the writing or production of this thing, but I think if he came out and said, "You can't do this because I plan to do this over here," I don't know if the Acolyte's going that direction, but I think he would have the final say. So at this point, too, like I said, here's $50. Go change it.
Should we make Yoda the scapegoat?
No. The resounding answer is no.
Yeah, and he's Filoni said yeah. I think that's the great idea. I think George would have loved that.
Nah, Dave Filoni would fight that tooth and nail. Tooth and nail. No, you're wrong. All right, guys. Well, anyway, Let's do this again next week, Halba. You know, shall we?
Okay.
Let's see where the Bad Batch takes us. If it's another baby crawl, if it's other breadcrumbs, whatever. I'm gonna. The rant is gonna go on for a little bit.
Tiptoe was the exact way to say it.
Yeah,
because they're just sneaking around. You know, when you tell somebody at the light, you know, it's not going anywhere. You know, you don't have to sneak up on it. The same thing. Just get me there. Get me there.
If there was another season involved, then I can, okay, fine. More of the same, right?
100%, dude. Yeah. Then I'd also be like, why are we putting these in the end of the season? Now I'm just like, why are you putting these at the end of the series? But yeah, they do have a pattern of doing that. They do it all the time. This was a good episode. And it just, like I said, take those two, squeeze them together. We're styling.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to stretch it out that much. I mean, yeah,
really. What's the magic number of episodes you're trying to hit? Like, you cut it down one.
I feel like,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just felt like they could have come up with this plan without Rampart myself. They could have figured how to do this.
I don't know. They could have. I think this was pretty good. I think this was. I liked the Rampart inclusion. I liked Rampart.
So. I was saying, but it wasn't a necessary. But anyway,
Rampart was kind of that forgotten character, right?
He was
the guy who was like, oh, they made a big deal. They made an action figure of this guy, and he lasted a season and a half and disappeared, or season and two episodes and disappeared.
Yeah,
so, I watch another show, Resident Alien, and they did the same thing in the last season of Resident Alien. The last seasons have been 16 episodes. They decided to cut this one in half, and you're watching things, and it's like, wait a minute, there's continuity flubs in this because they're squeezing too much stuff together. Mm. So I'd be afraid that they'd do the same thing, right? They'd condense these episodes, and it would make less sense because they're squeezing.
You just gotta take a couple button switches out and bullshit things going on in the art. I mean, they're all beautiful. Yeah, but we can cut a little.
Did they need the Juggernaut going off the cliff and that saving the last? No, they didn't need. They could just rescued him, got to the plan, beat him up a little bit, do whatever, interrogate him, and then they could have done the plan. I mean, he could.
They're just extra steps. It's fellowship.
Side mission over side mission.
It's fellowship. They're walking a lot.
And if it didn't happen, we would complain that there's not enough development. There's not enough storytelling.
I mean, I didn't see enough buttons pushed.
It's just
hey, make them all, you know, bangers.
Not when there's two episodes left. That's the point. But anyway,
I'm waiting for a series to be all thriller, no filler.
Yeah,
right.
All just killer, one of no them. Thriller. I can't wait.
Define thriller. That's the thing. So,
just watch Book of Boba Fett.
Define killer.
Right. Book of Boba Fett. That was it.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was killer.
Oh, killer!
It didn't have. Anyway. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you, everybody in the pit.
I was ready.
I know. I was like,
fat time. Let's roll.
I know, right? Jeez. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody in the pit. Thank you for all the communication going back and forth. This is great. Again, we'll do this again next week. Look forward to Monday coming out this next Monday for another toy show, where we discuss all the aspects of Star Wars collecting, Black Series, Vintage Collection, anything that we're doing. So tune in that. That's 5:30 Pacific time on Monday, every other Monday. And of course, we did drop a Beyond the Pit, which dropped this week. Go check that out. That's just us kicking back and basically just riffing, just talking. And you could see how much our heads go or how we think. And we could have went for 18 hours, but we didn't. We only did like an hour.
That
and
was
20.
Prime line talk.
But yeah, and it's straight up line talk. And anybody who doesn't know what line talk is when we're waiting in line for a Star Wars movie and we talk about everything. I mean, it goes from Dungeons and Dragons to Batman to Marvel to Star Wars and it goes all back in a circle. So it's a lot of fun. That's our Beyond the Pit. So go check those out. Give us a like, a subscribe if you haven't. Tell a friend if you haven't. Because every week is Bring a Friend to Starlight Digest week. So with that, you can check the Toshi Station Emporium for all your figure standees, talking about toys, 10% off your entire order.
That stand right there is prettier than the figure. And that's a Cobra Bat. That's a badass figure.
And that's a pretty figure.
Look at that.
Look how sleek it is. You save shelf space. They work. They function.
Yeah, he's standing. Nice. I put him on a Hasbro stand. He falls off my shelf. I put him on a Toshi Station stand. Bam!
It's like they were designed specifically for a collector by a collector.
What the hell?
Who knew? I have. You know what? I haven't had my Piet or Veers fall in a very long. I mean,
and I need to give you some
stands because those suck.
I need to give you some upgraded stands I made for those too. So I'll give you some.
Okay, but I mean, they haven't fallen.
No, but like. For posing, because again, preserve your pose.
So, nice.
All right.
You know how all my Imperials are? Like hands behind their
back. Exactly.
Hands up.
Mine too. Mine too.
That's how they're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Right? Thrawn with his finger up. That's it. That's how I have it, right? Or Tarkin is. Tarkin's finger up.
Yeah, yeah. Same, same.
That's all those good figures. Yeah, see? All Toshi Station Emporium. There we go.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. And you can find Scott at the Art of Scott Solo on Instagram, of course, Facebook, on the 1 Minute Toy Reviews. That's him. Go check him out. Give him a like. Go and do what Quinn the Quesadilla does and just go back and view them all. You can put them on for hours. There's hours and hours of literature. So
watch the facial hair grow as time passes.
Yeah. Joey is over on Instagram at bootleg_ 760. Toy photography and being an awesome dark side user. Joey is not moving rocks anytime soon. He's forced lightning this sucker. So, and of course, Grand Admiral Franz. He doesn't have a lot of social media presence, but he's here. And on Twitter, if you do happen to,
but I'm a lot happier if you notice. I don't come ranting about the world. I don't come ranting about the stupid people online. Twitter is just not a place to engage.
But you know where it is.
But I'm there. If you guys message us, I am there. I do check it just to see what the news is. Really, to check.
And he's a lot friendlier at conventions. That's a firsthand account. Is a lot friendlier, a lot more approachable.
Right.
So you know, you won't get the weird smile. You'll just get Chris. So,
I believe cute baby face.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, inside joke.
Yeah. And of course, Ernie the Fallen Fett over at the Fallen Fett Chronicles. He wasn't here because he's on call, but they were holding down the fort over there. So everybody from the Federation, thank you. Good night. We'll see you next week. I think with that, Scott.
Keep it nerdy, everybody.
If you choose to, whatever.
I guess. Whatever.
Options. We have options in life.